8. So, building a strong foundation. Just want to remind everybody. We need to have, you know, strong roots in God. We need to understand that God is with us. We talked just between Christmas and New Year's there about the 400 silent years where God was at work. Even though we couldn't really see He was at work, He was preparing so that when that moment when Jesus came, the gospel could go throughout the whole world. It was called the silent years, but God might have seemed silent, but He was at work. And God's at work. We need to know that God's always working for our good. He loves you, and He's committed to you. We have the cross as a reminder that God put His love on display for us, that we would, you know, never be without God. We would never be without strength and without hope. So this morning, I just want to remind you at the beginning of this new year, there's hope. Like, I think about so many times when people go through stuff and they get bogged down and stuff and they just cannot see hope. But there is hope. There's always hope if you could just set your heart on God and trust in Him. So our beginning of this year, we're just going to talk about foundations a bit. We're going to be, like, going through a lot of different things over the next while. I want to challenge you this year to really just to trust God more. Not to just, like, rest back. Like, I walk with a bunch of you for a long time. I've seen you go through lulls in your relationship with God. I've seen you, you know, at some point, you know, like some, you know, I've talked to you and you haven't even been reading your Bible or praying. And then I've seen, you know, God work in your life and you come back to a place where you're into His Word and you're growing and you're strong again. And God wants you to stay strong in Him. He wants you to stay engaged with Him. He doesn't want you to wander away. He wants you to stay strong, but He loves you and He's committed to you. So some of the stuff we're going to talk about, if you've been around church world for a while, it's going to be a reminder to you. Hopefully it's a good reminder. Sometimes we just need to remember, you know, the basics so that we can just, if nothing else, share with other people what the basics are. But sometimes we just need to remember that, like, when we're having, you know, like, complicated things going on in our life, we could just go back to the simple basic truth that Jesus loves me. We sang that song when we were a kid, right? How many of you sang that? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. We are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. It's a beautiful truth. And it's awesome that so many children had that planted in their heart at a young age. Because I'll tell you, like, I remember this story. This guy, I knew this guy, when we had the school, his kids were in the school. And he told me, like, he grew up in a pretty messed up home, like, pretty bad. And then one day, he caught the church bus going to Bethel in Hamilton, the big Pentecostal church there up on the mountain. And he went there once. And he said, the people were so nice to me. And it was such an awesome experience. I was just a kid, he said. But later in life, when my life started to come wheels off and things were going bad and things were, my life was falling apart, he said, I didn't know where to turn. But I remembered that I went on that church bus when I was like 10 or 11 years old. And those people were nice to me. And there was something different about that place. And he said he went to that church. He gave his life to Christ. He served God for, as far as I know, the rest of his life. But he ended up, like, running the bus ministry there at the church because he just really felt like it was such an important part. So these little truths that we know, these foundational things that we know, that God is love, that Jesus loves me. So not just Jesus loves the greater me, but Jesus loves Ralph. Jesus loves Agnes. Jesus loves Michael. Jesus loves Shauna. Jesus loves Linda and Fran. He loves us as people. He's committed to us as people. He's not really moved by how good you are or how bad you are. He doesn't care if you're fat like me. He doesn't care if you're skinny and beautiful. He doesn't care. He just He doesn't care, really, if you're a bank robber or if you're like goody two-shoes. He loves you. He's committed to you. So no matter where you are in your life, understand, foundations are important. So we need to understand that what we build our life on, the foundations we build our life on, really are important to how we survive and how we thrive through life. Like we need to know certain things in order to bring the world into focus around us. Like, we need to understand how God created man. And I'm probably not going to go into the whole story of creation right now, but I just want to, there is the idea and that God, well, not the idea, it's written in God's word. This is what I believe, right, is the truth. Been around for a long time, right? Its truths are timeless. So this is like our foundation. This is where everything that we as believers build our life on. So foundations, right, are important. And where you lay your foundation is important. You gotta build your foundation on something solid. So as believers, we build our foundation on the truth that God is God and God is love. And the foundation of His Word, that His Word reveals Himself to us. Foundations are important, and foundations have to go deep enough to hit something solid and undisturbed. God is undisturbed. He's solid. The Bible says He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like, I remember when Bob built his house, and Bob and Lorraine, they built the same time as us. And when they were building, they discovered something about their lot, right? Was it a water table or something, a flow? Like, just quickly throw it out there. Yeah. Right. So they went 17 feet to hit a solid, is that right? So mostly a foundation, like my foundation in my house is 4 feet deep. I'm a raised bungalow, so that's where my foundation lays, right there at 4 feet. Bob had to go 17 feet to get a strong foundation, because it's so important that we get built on a strong foundation. So I'm not even with my notes. So I'm going to just back up here a little bit, because I want to stay with my notes a little bit on this. So first of all, as a church, right? Here, Jubilee Community Church, our foundation is in the Word of God. That's what we believe in. As a church, we exist to glorify God, number one. When we stop giving praise to Jesus, when we stop, like, being excited about who we are in Jesus and who He is to us, like, we might as well close the doors. We are here to glorify God. If you ask me why we are what we are, I'm going to give glory to God. We are here to glorify God and to help people know Jesus, to help them be healed, set free, and to grow strong as a follower of Christ. And I take that very seriously, and I hope all of you do, because it isn't just about a pastor. It's about all of us. It's about walking with each other. It's about, you know, loving each other. So as a church, we choose to love each other. We choose to, because that's what God asked us to do. Last week I read the scripture, if you got anything at all out of serving God, if you have any, you know, if you care, right, love each other, be deep-spirited friends, don't push your way to the front, help others get ahead, right, like all that, right? This is because we choose to do it. We need to choose it. Like, we have to choose to care about each other. We have to choose, right, when someone's an idiot, to say, you're an idiot, but I love you. Right? I'm reading a book called The Daniel Dilemma by Chris Hodges. And it says in the book that grace, truth without grace is mean. But grace without truth is meaningless. So if you're an idiot, I might tell you in nice words, bless your soul, you're an idiot. No, right? Because truth is important. But in no way, and I'm an idiot sometimes. How many, like, I mean, some of you know me for a long time. You know I can be an idiot at times. Like, honestly, Christine especially knows that. Marlene knows. Marlene, when we used to go roller skates, she used to drive the bus, and we'd pick up like 50 kids and go roller skating every Thursday night. And after like 5 years of doing it, you think she would learn, but she never learned. She'd be skating around the roller rink, and I'd run up behind her, and I'd go, ah! And she'd be like, ah! See, I scared you guys all again, too. Awesome. It's my favorite new thing to do is just make you jump a little bit. No. But so, like, she knows I'm an idiot, right? But she loves me anyway. But we're going to love you, and I hope you're going to love me, and we're going to get through this life together. It's not as simple as just, like, I hate the idea of just showing up at church, doing our religious thing, and walking out the door. I believe in relationship with each other. I believe in that so much that many times when people have struggles with each other in the church here, I'll say to them, hey, have you prayed for that person? And if they say no, or maybe, or a little bit, right? I'll say, well, why don't you choose to pray for them for a while, and then we'll talk again. Because if you'll pray for someone, if you'll carry them in your heart for a while, if you'll walk along beside them for a while, you'll change your mind about it. You'll get the heart of Jesus for people. Jesus loves people. He didn't just make it his, you know, his ad, you know, line. Jesus loves me, right? He demonstrated it, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But he actually proved he loved us. But he said, "Love each other as I have loved you." It's a big price. It's hard. It's not easy. I mean, it's not easy loving people all the time. Sometimes people are mean. Sometimes I'm mean. Sometimes you're mean. Sometimes we come into church and we're not in a good mood, or sometimes we run into each other and it's not always beautiful, but we're together. We're going to stay together. We do love each other not just because we're commanded by Scripture, but because we love Jesus so much. And we want to live out that example that Jesus lived out for us. We want to live out the example that Jesus lived out for us. We want to live the example Jesus lived out. We got to follow Jesus. That's why we're called Christians. Because we're like Christ. We're supposed to be Christ ones in the earth. So we got to keep going forward, and we got to keep doing what Jesus did. Right? It's my goal to have us as a church be authentic followers of Christ. That means the real deal. Authentic means it's real. It's not just a whatever, right? It's not just a, well, I care at Sunday, Thursday's my day, I don't care anymore. Whatever. It's not who we are as people. We love each other. We serve each other. We're authentic, living life in real time through our joys, our sorrows, our pain, our victories, our struggles, our everything, whatever, right? Like the Bible teaches, and I've said this before, it's part of my personal value system, is that I rejoice with those who rejoice, and I weep with those who weep. And how many know it's easier to weep with those who weep than it is to rejoice with those who rejoice? Like, when someone gets what you wanted, it's hard to rejoice, right? When you think somebody's kind of evil and something good happens for them, I bet you've all said this. Well, I try really hard. God, I did what you asked me to do, and they got what I wanted. How come is that fair, right? David said that in Psalms a lot. David said, how come the wicked, right? So we rejoice and we weep. So victories and struggles, all that, we're going to enjoy that together. Like, it's just, we get to do life together. And I don't think it's right to do it alone. I actually don't think it's right. So if you're here in church at Jubilee and you just want to be alone all the time, it's against the rules. it's not right. We got to stay together. We got to care. Like, you don't have to be together every hour of every day, but if you're going through something, like, get someone involved. Get someone to help you. If you're rejoicing about something, tell someone. Let us rejoice with you. Let us be together in it, right? So we need to be authentic. We need to walk together through whatever life throws our way. I hate the idea of ticking boxes and just doing chores as a believer. I believe God has called us into a life with Him that will bring freedom, joy, adventure, and meaning. Just like, you know, like, so let's believe God that we can have some joy in our life, right? Let's be joyful. Let's laugh more. Let's enjoy life more. Let's choose freedom. Let's choose joy. Let's choose adventure, right? Like, sometimes it's really hard being a believer because we, as Canadians, we like keeping everything to ourselves, right? Right? We don't talk about politics and religion. Unless you're on Facebook, then we talk about it. We're mean people on Facebook. But honestly, so religion, we don't talk about religion, but we should be telling people about Jesus, right? We should have our story ready to tell. If Jesus has done anything for you in your life and you sit down with someone, you should tell them. I think it's awesome. I don't think we have to try and lead people every time we meet with someone in the sinner's prayer. Like, we do push once in a while in church and we say, like, just if anybody here wants to receive Christ, put up your hand and all that. And I think that's really important because sometimes for people, it's just acknowledged for them. But I really think what happens in our own hearts, first of all, is we just decided, I want to follow Jesus because I love Him and He's changing my life. Even though I didn't really understand I needed changing, but all of a sudden my life has changed. I feel different. I feel like I'm connected to God. I feel like I have purpose. I feel like I have meaning. And so we walk with God. But we should be willing and happy to share our story with somebody. Like, I think that as believers, we should be excited about what Jesus has done for us. I love Him so much. And I just want to give Him every part of me. I do. I mean, I've had days where I don't even feel like getting out of bed in the morning. But honestly, I just know this. If I could just get up and I could just do something and I could just share my life and my love and my care for people with and my story about Jesus with somebody, my day is going to be better. Right? It's going to get better. Like, life isn't about us. Like, this is the problem. So many times as believers, and I think this is about, like, so many things. We have become so self-focused in our culture. We've become so much about who we are, expressing ourselves, having our feelings, having our ideas. But realistically, the world isn't about us. If it's all about one person, like, that's dumb, honestly. 6 billion, almost 7 billion people on the planet now. If we got to have the world revolve around every one of them, it doesn't work. Like, honestly, life is about reaching out and sharing with other people, giving to other people. The happiest people on earth are people that help others, really. Amen? So, have you helped someone lately? You don't have to answer it out loud, but, like, just help someone. Find someone to help. Like, I always say, look in the cafe. Like, I love the cafe. I love church because I get to look at all your faces, and I'm sitting here this morning. I'm looking around, and I want to kind of scope out, you know, what's going on because I can tell by your faces generally how you're doing. And generally, if I see someone's kind of struggling, you know, throughout church, and then I usually try and spend some time with you after church if I can get to you because I want to help you. That's my heart. My heart is, I want to share Jesus with you. I want Jesus to help you with your problems, but He uses you and He uses me, right? We are His hands and His feet in this world. So, like, honestly, when you go in the cafe, it's okay to talk about the football game yesterday. It's fine, all right? But, like, there's more important things, right? Like, you could sit down and just try and, like, I used to tell my kids this. I don't even know if they remember. But, like, when you go to school, look around for the lonely person and be a friend to them. Right? Like, that's what we need to do. We need to care about people. We need to love people. And that means we start here in the house. If you don't practice here in the family, we're never going to be good at it when we get outside the house. Right? So we have to practice. We have to put our life to being authentic. He's done so much for us. And because he's done so much for me, I want to please him. It's not that I have to please him, but I want to please him. I want him to be happy with me. I want him to look at me one day and say, good job, Ralph. You did what I asked you to do. Come and enter my rest. That's what I want more than anything. Right? I don't know, like once in a while, not every day because I'm not that great, but I'm decent. Every once in a while, I just want to surprise Christine and do something nice for her. And like I said, I did Christmas lights for her and she noticed it. And I felt so good because I just wanted to please her. I want to please her because I love her. I don't want her to be mad at me. I don't want to hurt her. I want to be a person because of my great love for her. I want to please her. But because of my great love for God, I want to please God. Right? Because he loved me so much that he was willing to go to the cross for me. Right? I love the cross we have because the crown, the cross and the crown kind of signify the sacrifice. And the heart is what it's all about. It was about the heart behind the sacrifice was to connect us back to God, to be in a relationship with him. God wants you in a relationship with him. We're not doing good here. I'm on my first half a page and we're almost out of time. All right. So, Cole's going to straighten me out. Going through the motions creates confusion for everyone. Like when you go through the motions of your life, of Christianity, like it's hard to keep it all straight. But when you live from your heart, it's a lot easier. Like when you're going through the motions, right? I don't know. Like I could, like kids can tell, right? Like when you're not real, right? But I think most people can. Like when people are just going through the motions, right? Like so, I remember I went to this church in England in it was called Abundant Life, and I went to this church and they had this whole great greeting team out front. They were like so exuberant. Like I'm like, wow, if our team was like this exuberant, it would be awesome, right? And so I walk up to them and they're like, "We're so glad you're here. Welcome, welcome." And I'm like, "Cool. What's your name?" Oh. I'm like, "All right. So my name's Ralph. What's your name?" They didn't know what to do. And then I'm like, "So how long have you been going to church here?" And they're like, obviously, they didn't want to answer any of my questions, right? Like, as Brittany would call me, I'm the man of a million questions, I think. It's Brett. Anyway, but like, it was like, they were greeting, but like, you could tell it was just what they had to do. It was something they did because this was how you greet. This is what you do. But I'm used to our church. When you come in, somebody's going to greet you. How's it going? How's your week? What's going on? My name's Marlene. Nice to meet you. Right? Or whoever's at the door. Right? I remember Trudy. Like a lot of you wouldn't remember Trudy. Trudy was an old girl. And she had a pocket full of candies. And she was like always ready to greet everybody. And she'd give everybody a hug, and she knew every kid and their name. She knew when they were going to play their next hockey game. And she's like, "How'd your game go? How'd that go?" She knew everything was going on. There was like no pretense. There was no, it was real. Because when you're going through the motions, it creates confusion for people. Oh, well, I'm welcome, but who are you? Right? So we got to be like, not just go through the motions of our Christian life. We have to live it out loud, right? So like, I don't know, every day doesn't go good for me. Does it go good for you? Like, so some days, like someone said to me this morning, I said, "How was your week?" And they said, "Great." And they said, "Well, how was your week?" And I'm like, "It was good." "Really?" "Yeah, it was good." Right? Because they actually cared and wanted to know how my week was. I really appreciated that. And sometimes my week isn't that good. Now, I'm not going to go through all the blah, 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 blah about how bad my week was. But, like, every once in a while, like, I just could say to someone, "Hey, I had a bit of a tough week. I'd appreciate prayer," right? And that's okay. That's good. We got to, like, share the good stuff and the bad stuff with each other. Just, like, don't give an organ recital all the time. Like, it's really hard. Whew. Anyway, so just care, but share. Do life, be authentic, be real. So I just want to just run. Oh, I got to stop. So, anyway, it's like I haven't even started. So I'm just like, I don't even know how to stop yet. Anyway, so why don't you read this week, Luke 6, verse 46 to 49. And then next week I'm going to start talking about that. I don't know what happens, but anyway.